Amen. All right. Why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God and jump in and see what God has for us this morning. I know God does speak to us individually and corporately as well. And every time we get into the Word of God, we're always getting, God's always showing us something about our life and others. And so same this morning, my prayer is that God will speak to you this morning in regards to his word, which you probably read 1,000 times. How many of you have read the Bible completely through, right? Everybody? I mean, everybody should be raising their hand. And more than once, read it all the way through. And you probably read this portion of scripture more than once. And yet, it's always fresh. That's one thing about the Word of God. No matter how many times you read it, it's always fresh. It's like a fresh baked bread, right? Anybody here ever baked bread yourself? I like to get my bread, the pan dulce, at Panchita's early in the morning because that's when it's fresh, you know, and you get there and it's nice and warm. And the Word of God is like that. It's fresh. Every time you read it, it's fresh. So we are going to, in fact, why don't you stand and we're going to read it. I'll read it and then we'll pick up at verse 5 where we left off 2 weeks ago. And so, verse 1, and now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And so he said, when you pray, say, and let's read this together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive one another who has in debt to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you, Father. So we do pray, Lord, now that you bless us. And in regards to chapter 11 here, it has to deal with prayer. And so, Father, we want our prayer lives to be so powerful, so unique and so giving. I know people are always asking us to pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. May we never, ever have not have time to pray for somebody. When somebody asks us to pray for them, may we say, let's pray now. Because if we say, yeah, I'll pray for you, that may never happen. We should always say, oh, let's pray now. And so bless us this morning, and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So again, here in chapter 11, we know Jesus is now heading to Jerusalem because he's going to do what God called him to do. And before he goes to Jerusalem, he's hitting all the other towns and all the villages and all the areas all around. The ones that are occupied by the Jews and the ones that are occupied by the Gentiles. And he's doing all he can to teach the Word of God. And I think that's what we're going to, that's what we're seeing today. Jesus is coming back. How many of you believe that? I think that he is hitting every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every denomination, every religion. He's going to hit them with the truth of the gospel and save as many as he can before he comes back. Because we know that in Revelation it tells us that John saw every tongue, every tribe, every nation up there praising God. So maybe this is what Jesus is doing. This is what he's doing here in chapter 11. He's going throughout and he's giving the gospel. He's sharing the truth about who he is and salvation to everyone before he goes to the cross, giving everybody the opportunity to receive him as the Messiah. So maybe this is what Jesus is doing now. It's getting close. Things are getting bad. Amen. Yeah. It's getting to the point now that there are restrictions on us in order to be able to buy, in order to even have medical treatment. Guys, it's not a laughing matter. It's happening. But it's exciting in the way that God tells us this is going to happen. And that we need to be ready. We need to be equipped. We need to take every opportunity to make our election and our calling sure with God. Because when the time comes of denying your faith, or even saying, okay, you need to obey us, you need to be part of us, and you need to do what we're telling you to do, are you going to do it? That's the question. And so here, Jesus, he gets into this prayer here, and in verse 2, he talks about, okay, when you pray, they saw Jesus praying all the time. And I love to see people pray. You'd be driving, how many of you drive around, you know, you're walking around, you see people praying, they're praying over their food, or they're standing and praying. When we pray out in the open, so that people can see us pray. I love that, because they might come up and say, hey, can you pray for me too? It has happened. Paul says we are a written epistle. We're read and known by all men. Your life in Christ is seen by everyone. They're watching you. They might not say it, but they are watching you. And they may come secretly, like Nicodemus, and say, hey, you know what? Pray for me. You know, I don't want anybody to know. You know, pray for me secretly. You know, when we were in Cancun, we went to the Maya's pyramids. And we had a Mayan tour guy who took us around and was explaining all the pyramids and how the Maya people, they were pretty bad. Sacrifices and how they sacrificed. If you want to know how they were, watch that movie, Apocalypto. Because that's how it was. I asked him that. He said, yes, exactly how it's based on their life. Anyways, I asked him, well, how do you think they made these pyramids so perfect? Every stone, it's just so perfect. And he said, well, most people believe it was aliens. And I said, no, it wasn't. He said, well, no, what do you think? I said, God. God gave them the wisdom. They took what God gave them, and they turned it against God. And he said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. I'm a pastor. He says, praise God, I'm a Christian too. And then he started taking us around. But it was, and he took us into this one little area under a tree. And he asked, Pastor, I want to pray for you. And he said he wanted to pray for me. And I said, great, because you guys know I've been struggling with my leg. It still hurts. It hasn't changed. But praise God. Anyways, I give God the glory. That's my thorn in the flesh. It's my reminder to pray for certain individuals. And he said, could I pray for you? I said, yeah, pray for my leg. So he laid his hand. He was rubbing my leg, and he was praying. He prayed in his language, Maya language. And then he prayed in English, saying, you know, Jesus, remove it, Jesus, remove it. And then he asked some of my grandkids and my kids and my family, okay, anybody else need prayer? And my grandson, he said, pray for my toe. And he prayed for his toe. But then he said, and I noticed that he was kind of looking like this, looking around, you know, and kind of wanted to make sure, I don't know, maybe he didn't want to make sure, he didn't want to get in trouble. But then he said, can you pray for me? You guys pray for me, because I want to be able to see my kids. So me and my son and my family, my grandkids, we all laid hands on him, and we prayed over him. And I thought that was so awesome. They are watching. You just got to let them know who you are. They're out there. And let them see it. But and Jesus, he goes and says, okay, if you're going to pray, pray that, you know, our Father in heaven. So he starts off with relationship. It should always start off with your relationship with God, who God is. He's our God, you know, and it says God who is in heaven. Guys, no matter what's going on right now, it looks bad, right? Don't ever forget, God is still on the throne. The gospel is still being preached, and people are still getting saved. Amen. That ain't going to change. Amen. Why? Because we need to pray God, who is in heaven, and He made heaven for us. The end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. So whatever God chooses to take you home, whether it's COVID or car accident or whatever it may be, the suffering of this present time can't compare to the glory that's going to be revealed. Heaven will be in the land of no mores. We are going there. Whether Jesus comes back with the rapture to pull us out, or we die. Either way, we're going. There ain't going to be no more tears, no more suffering, no more pain. just going to be tears of joy, streets of gold. Jesus is going to be, our loved ones are going to be there. It's going to be awesome. We were talking about that this morning, how 2 to 3 million Israelites met God at the mountain, the foot of the mountain, and he came and he spoke to him like he did Moses. We are going to see millions of people praising God in heaven. Even Mikey, yeah, even Frank's going to be there. And we're talking 2 to 1 million people, but you still will hear, yeah, but. So Jesus said, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, that will be done. God's will is going to be done in your life, whether you like it or not. I like to think of it, you know, God wrote the book of our lives. We're making the movie. And, you know, we may cut the script here and there and try to change it up, but you can't. God's will is going to be done. And it's up to us to make that movie or make that movie, you know, not put it out or whatever, you know, try to do it our way. But God's will is going to be done. It's going to be done here on earth and in heaven. So whatever's happening in this world right now, it's God's will. Guys, God's will is for this world to get bad because he needs to judge this world. And he's going, it's all in the Bible. You got to read it. Just, it's all there. It doesn't say that everything's going to be hunky-dory. Jesus said you will be, what? Persecuted. You will have tribulations. You will have trials. But be of good cheer, for I what? He overcome it. And so he will give us the authority, the power to overcome it as well. He'll give us what we need. And he says, and then, you know, pray that God's will be done. And he says, and pray for God to give you your daily bread. You know, God will provide our necessities and to forgive us all our sins. That's part of our life is repentance. It's not a one-time thing. We pray every day, God, forgive me. I don't know if you, I do. Every time I'm out there, Lord, forgive me for doing that. Forgive me for saying that. Forgive me for not doing that. Forgive me for this and this and this. I don't say sorry, Lord. Because if you say sorry, what you're saying, Lord, sorry I got caught, but I'm going to do it again. I say, forgive me, Lord. Help me to repent. Help me to turn around. I hate what I do, and that's what God wants, because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate what you do when you're doing wrong. But he says, ask God to forgive you, but also you need to forgive everyone who offended you. And I think that's a sign of I know that I've been forgiven because I'm forgiving others. And you guys, remember that when you forgive somebody, that means you have to forget. If you haven't forgotten what they did, then you have not forgiven. Because you're always reminded, oh yeah, I can say, okay, Richard, I forgive you, brother, but I can't forget what you did to me. It's kind of like a contradiction. If I say, Richard, I forgive what you did to me. And, hey, praise God, you're my brother. That's repentance. That's forgiveness. Don't, for God, what if God did that? What if he says, hey, you know, I've forgiven you, but I'm not going to forget what you did. Doesn't the Bible say as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God casts our sin away from him? From the east to the west, it just keeps going. God doesn't remember, so we shouldn't also. So this is the model of the prayer, of his prayer. Now look what he says in verse 5. And then Jesus goes in regards to prayer. He says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend? How many of you have friends? You guys got friends? I know some of you don't have friends. You know, I have many friends. Yeah, right. You know, you make up your friends, you know, and yeah. Which of you who shall have a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and you say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise to give you. I say to you, though he will not rise to give to him because he is his friend, Yet because of his perseverance, his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So, you know, when I read this story between verse 5 and verse 8, it reminds me of when you go to a hotel or you go to a resort. And, you know, when you go in there and you find inside of the door, you know, on the doorknob, there's this little door hanger that you can put outside the door. And it says, do not disturb. Right? They have it everywhere. And the reason why they have it there so that you can put that hanger on the outside of your door so the housekeeping people won't come in your room while you're asleep, or maybe you're just in and you don't want to be disturbed by any of the employees. That's the whole purpose of it. You go there and if you put it outside, then they'll walk up and they'll see it, don't disturb, and they won't go in. But now they also have another one that says, if you put it out there if you want clean towels. And so they'll come in. But, you know, we're told that there's nothing new under the sun, right? What we do today, they did back then, or vice versa. So in light of what Jesus is saying here in verse 5 through 8, you have to know that back in the culture back then, we're told that hospitality was very big in those days, especially in the Middle East. They're very big in hospitality. And I know some of you who are very hospitable, like I think of the Perillos. They open their homes to many missionaries. It's like that's Jesus's headquarters for mission work. You want to know anything about missions? Anything about missionaries? Everything about reentry and what to prepare? Their place is the headquarters of missions. Others of you who open their home, I think of Brother Mark here. He opened his home for the 4th of July, first time ever. And it was funny because he told his neighbors, hey, come join us. This is the first time that I have ever had Christians partying in my house. So that is a changed life. Hospitality is so important to open up to, especially to the people of God. And so they were very big in hospitality. And it was highly expected by those who were visiting. Those distant travelers, even their neighbors, it was a big deal to them, especially to those who were entertaining their guests, their family and their friends, to open up their homes. So if you were inviting people, you were obligated to provide food and sanctuary as the head of the home. And for those who weren't rich, most of the families, they lived together in a one-room house. Okay, they didn't have big rooms. They only had one room. And a lot of times, the whole family, they slept together. And even those who are farmers and those who have animals, they even brought their animals into their house. Now, they were separated there's two ways that they were separated. A lot of times, sometimes they had barriers that separated the animals from the family, from the kids and everything. Or they had a little platform that they would sleep on. But they all had mats, and they would roll up their mats, and then they unroll, lay down, and they would sleep. But like us, when they went to bed, they would turn off their lights. In that case, they had candles. They didn't have light electricity like us, right? Fireplace, they might have put it out, or a lot of times they would leave it on for warmth. They'd shut their front door. They would close windows if they had some, or the whatever they had, curtains over them and not shutters like us. But and then they would sleep together, and they would stay warm, huddled together. But once the door is closed, look what it says in verse 7. It says, and I will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise to give to you. So once the door is shut, it meant that you need to be considerate. Don't come knocking, because we're going to bed, and because of the whole entire family and the livestock is now situated, there's really no way that anybody could be able to come into the front door without disturbing the peace. I don't know about you, but when your lights are off, that means you're asleep, right? Right? Except for Carmen, she's a night owl. You know, she falls asleep with the lights on and the TV on. You know, and so they may think we're awake. But sometimes we get called out late at night. But again, the whole purpose is don't disturb the peace. But once the sun came up, then everybody's awake. You know, they would open their front door so everybody could come in and go as they please. Now, look at verse 8. In verse 8, Jesus said, "And so I say to you, though he will not rise to give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and to give him as many as he needs." So I think of what Jesus said, hey, just because he's a good friend doesn't mean that he will be treated differently. But the one who's treated differently here in verse 8 is the one who is persistent, the one who will not let up until his need is met, even if it meant him having that boldness and that the audacity to ask his friend in the midnight hour. He just ain't going away. Shh, maybe he'll go away. You know, I used to do that when we first got saved. We lived in a one-bedroom room just like this, but we didn't have any livestock. And outside the Catholic Church, we got saved in the Baptist Church. And the pastor, he just, for some reason, the Lord really put us on his heart that he was like watching over us like his kids. And he would, every week he would come, and I would look. I'd tell Carmen, shh, shh, shh. And you think Carmen would obey me? No. She'd go and open the door. Hey, Pastor. And hey, Pastor. Hey, great to see you. Come on in. You know? I mean, you're in a dead sleep. You want someone come knocking on the door, you know, it's going to wake you up. And that's fine and everything. But we're talking about children. They slept with their children and their livestock. So we're talking about disturbing the peace here. But he says here, even though he is a good friend, doesn't mean that he would be treated differently, but he's going to be treated differently because he's persistent. He ain't giving up. He ain't going away. Therefore, it was his persistency that caused his friend to get up, and he probably disturbed everyone, but he gave him what he needed so that he would go away and let him sleep. So I think Jesus is giving us an example here. A simple act of getting your prayers answered. I mean, how many of you want your prayers answered? Well, it's called persistency. It is called endurance. This is very needed when we are seeking for our prayers to be answered by the man of the home. In this case, it will be the main man who is God. So when you want your prayers answered, don't leave the house of the man or the throne of God. Don't go away. Don't let God alone. Keep asking. You know, you got to understand, God already knows what you need. God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. He knows even before you ask. So it's like, why do I ask? God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be dependent upon him. You know, just like our society wants socialism in our society. The government wants you to keep receiving their money because they want you to be dependent on them. But you don't realize where that money's coming from. It's got to come from somewhere. But if we keep giving it to them, then they'll depend upon us, and then we can, you know, make our moves on them. God wants us to be dependent on him like a child and a parent. You know, when we did a crusade with Miles McPherson in Africa, we actually visit in Nairobi, or no, Kenya. We actually visit a Maasai village. And just like the movies, if you've seen the movies of the Africans in a movie, they had a little village, and it was surrounded by the briar bush, this bush all around with big, thick thorns. And then there was one opening. I say it was about this big, just enough for a cow to get through. And then when you went in there, the smell was horrendous because of all the cow droppings and everything. But they had their huts. And the reason why it smelled so bad is because the women were the ones who built the huts. And the walls of the huts were actually made out of cow dung. And so they would take the cow dung, and that's how they made the walls. And the opening of the door was just wide enough so a person can walk through. And that was it. You got to remember, we're Americans. Okay, they are, the Africans are much thinner than us Americans. So when we, they, the chief's son actually invited us to go into his hut. So when we went in, we couldn't go in this way. We had to go in like this, you know. So I'm not lying. We did. And when we went in there, there was no lights. One window and then one hole in the ceiling and a fire for the fire. And the room inside, there was a barrier there. And on one side is where the mom and the dad and the children slept. And they actually brought their cattle into their hut because you got to remember there's lions. And the lions are out there and wild animals that would try to get their livestock. So that's why they had the thorn bushes all around and just very small openings. And so you go walk in there, and it smelled like cattle. You ever drive up 8 and you smell all the cattle? That's what it smelled like. Yeah, but they were so used to it. But God knows even before you ask. And as a believer, you need to be sincere. Even though he knows, you need to be sincere. You need to be fervent. You need to be consistent. You need to be persistent, persevering and enduring when it comes to prayer and seeking the face of God for your needs to be met in prayer, in your prayer life. You don't give up. You got to pray. We have to pray. There's no reason why Tuesday night should be filled with many people praying. Well, I pray at home. I believe you. I pray every day. I believe you. But this is an opportunity for us to come together and pray for our community, pray for one another. Prayer meetings have been awesome. Wow, I think this year has been the best ever in our entire existing as a church, except for the prayer, the beginning of the prayer of every year. Back then, we used to have tons of people and coming the first week of every year and praying, the prayer week. But Tuesday nights have been better than any prayer meeting we have ever had. They've been great. The prayer warriors come and we have such a great time. So we need to be consistent. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. You know this very well. Listen to what it says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And who is he talking about? Jesus, right? So because he and can sympathize with our weaknesses, and because he knows and he accepts us as we are, he said, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. You know what that means? That means we have access to God himself. You guys have access to God. You don't need to go to no middleman. You don't need a third person. You don't need to do any rituals, any sacrifice your favorite baby lamb. Sacrifice your animals. You have access to God himself. And we don't need to knock to enter in the throne room of grace. We need to knock to for prayer, but not to enter into the grace of the throne grace of God. We're able to go right in just as we are. You don't need to go through no cleansing ritual. You don't need to change. You don't put on, I mean, I don't know about you. I don't put on a priestly robe to go into the presence of God. I just come as I am because that's how he accepts me. Guys, you are VIPs. Now, the reason why I say that, when we were in Cancun, we went down to the beach, and they had cabanas. You know, a cabana is like a bed with the three walls. And so we saw one down there at the beach, beautiful beach, clear blue. It's really blue and refreshing. And we went and we took over this cabana. And then here comes this man, very dark man. And he come up to say, he was the manager of the area there. And he says, no, you cannot be in here. Why? you have to be a VIP person. And I mentioned, I said, well, my son and daughter, they're members of the they're members of the hotel here. It doesn't matter. You have to be a VIP person. So a very what's it stand for? A very interesting person or special person, a very important person to be able to have here. You need to go over there where they're just grass umbrellas and nothing more. But guess what? I had the good news. The good news was sitting just like this between me and Carmen. Is that a Bible? Yes, it is, and I'm a pastor. Praise God, I'm a Christian too. Brothers and sisters, and he started preaching the gospel to us, and we started talking the gospel back. He says, you guys can stay here. I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to tell the waiters to come down, order anything you want, all the drinks. I'm going to bring a champagne bucket full of ice and water. Bring it down here. Whatever you want, I'm going to take care of you. And I realized, you know what? With God, we are VIPs. God took care of us. And then I come to find out, he said he's from Nigeria. And he was telling me how he had to get out of there because they were killing people. And he was praying to get his children out. And he got his children out of there. And remember, what was his name? Raphael. That was his name. And he says, so pastor, he said, you're my brothers and sisters. And so I'm going to take care of you. When you come down here, come see me. I'm going to hook you up. So we had the hookups. Every time we went down, we had a cabana. We had all the food we wanted to eat. No charge. All the drinks. You know how many piña coladas I drank without alcohol? I never had those before. Very sweet and very tasty. I didn't need no alcohol. They gave me one that did, and I knew it. He goes, no, there's nothing. Nope. Take it back. Take it back. He took care of us because that's what God, because we are VIPs to God. And especially when it comes to God and the things of God, when it comes to prayer, which leads us into the next verse, because Jesus tells his disciples, look at verse 9. He says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, find. To him who knocks, it will be open. So I love the fact that Jesus, he's exhorting them to, you know what, persevere in to endure in prayer. And he exhorts them in two ways. First, he says, when you pray, continue asking for what you need. Look what he says in verse 9. He says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Ask. You want something, just ask. Now, if you're asking God, and if you don't receive it, then what do? No, you do the next stop. So if you're asking, you don't get it, well, look what he says. Then what do? You seek, and you will find. But if I'm seeking and it doesn't bring it to pass, then what do? Then I knock, and it will be open to you. So, guys, Jesus is he's pointing out that when we pray, you have to be sincere in your prayers. I mean, what you pray, be sincere, because the way we show God that we really want him to answer our prayers is by what? Continue to ask for what we need. You know, there are prayers in my life that I'm always asking God every day, all day long, I'm praying. My leg is one of them, but for some of you out here who I'm praying for you constantly. And I am not going to stop praying until God answers the prayer. He either answers it here on earth or he answers it in heaven. And then there's prayers that I might just pray once in a lifetime, maybe a couple times. But God wants us to continue. He wants us to continue to pray. You know the Greek meaning for the verbs ask, seek, and knock? Exactly. They're all a continuous action that we need to do when it comes to praying. We are to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and not going away from God until his will is done or until he hears us. And that leads us into the second exhortation that Jesus gave his disciples about praying. Know this. You have to know by faith that God will hear you. You guys believe that? Right? Every time you pray and talk to God, he hears you. You know, if his feet, his Nikes, his chanclas are on this earth, can you imagine how big his ear is? You have to believe and know that when you pray, God hears you. Know by faith. And he will answer the prayers of the person who perseveres and who endures in prayer. Know that as a believer, God will always answer and he will always meet our needs according to what? His perfect will. You know, this parable that Jesus gave about this man who had a need, his friend. When he came to his friend at night and the door was shut and he's knocking and his friend is like, shh, you know, go away. My kids are asleep. You know, the guy was worthy of getting his rest. You know, he was worthy of sleeping. He needed to sleep. It wasn't like he was a bad guy because he told his friend to go away. But I think that if we can get something out of this guy who was trying to sleep and telling his friend to go away, you know what? There are many times when we are disturbed when we are in a deep sleep by the Lord. I mean, how many times God has woken you up out of your deep sleep? I mean, many of us have experienced being disturbed while sleeping because the Lord wants to move in our lives in different times and in different places, different situations, different circumstances. And when it happens, you know what? The Lord is looking at our persistency and our sincerity in each act that requires our continual coming to him. I want to read something to you. When we were in Cancun, Carmen, I'm going to read some. Carmen wrote this out, and I told her to write it out because it goes good with this being woken up at night. I mean, how many of you have been woken up by the Lord at night? For maybe he wanted you to intercede for somebody, or he wanted you to pray for a situation. He wanted you to get into the Word of God. You know, when I gave my kidney to my brother, I was laid up for a long time. And no lie, 1 o'clock, I was woken up at 1 o'clock every day. I didn't even need an alarm. Every time I woke up, I looked, 1 o'clock. God wants to have time with me. And I had a little couch, and I had one little light, and I put my Bible there, and I went there. I crawled there, and I opened my Bible, and I would read and spend time with God. 1 o'clock every night, God woke me up. But I want to read this to you. Monday night before women's Bible study, Jim Earp, remember Kathy and Jim Earp? We've been praying for because Kathy had COVID. He emailed Pastor Tony reaching out for prayer for Kathy. He mentioned it. Tony mentioned it to Irene before she went to the women's Bible study on Monday. And she mentioned it to Kathy here, Kathy Feigl. Irene Shriver, she prayed for her at the women's before the teaching. They prayed for Kathy. When we were at the airport in Mexico, we were waiting for our flight home. That's when Carmen, she texts Kathy Feigl, Kathy's sister Kathy, to see how everything went Monday night. She said, great, but did you hear about Kathy Earp? She has COVID and pneumonia, and we need to pray for her. And now I can relate to that because that's what I had, and it was awful. I had to go to the hospital, but I think she has it worse. So we got back Monday about midnight, but on Wednesday morning, I was sleeping in bed when I instantly woke up. My eyes were wide awake, but still laying down, and Kathy Earp was on my mind. I prayed for her and her breathing, and then I went back to sleep as it was still dark so very early. As I fell asleep again, I felt someone shrug my shoulders as to wake me up, and I turned to look to see if it was Stevie because it felt so strong. Her man is strong. I like that. I like that. She thinks I'm strong, you know. Why didn't she say good looking? So I felt like, okay, because it felt real strong. And I immediately woke up and I had Kathy Earp on my mind, but I had an urgency in my heart that I wasn't just praying for her, but rather intercede for her and get up. So I got up and I went into the living room and I looked at the time. It was 5:52 a.m. And I was praying and I was worshiping. And the worship song that Julie had said helped her when she was in the hospital with COVID, because Julie got it really bad. Me and Julie got it bad. She was in the hospital for 3 days and they were giving her oxygen. 3 days, right? Yeah. And the song that helped Julie get through COVID was Great Are You, Lord, and the song that we sang this morning. Why? Because he's the breath in our lungs. Perfect. I started singing Great Are You, Lord. He brings life and breath in our lungs. And I worshiped the words in prayer for Kathy Earp. After I prayed, I text Kathy Feigl telling her how the Lord woke me up to pray for Kathy Earp. She texts that she had just prayed for her, but she will pray again, and I sent her the worship song. About 6:45 a.m., I text my friend Roberta. She had just been thinking of me and called, and I told her what happened to pray for Kathy Earp, and we prayed for her. After a chain of events, I got Kathy Earp's phone number, and I called her, letting her know what had happened. Mind you, I haven't spoke to her for years. She cried as she was grasping for breath to even talk. I dropped up some cough syrup that helped Stevie, and Jim spoke to me, mentioning that exactly 5:30 a.m., when God woke her up, Kathy had looked at him and said she was struggling to breathe and cried out to God as he was praying, interceding for her to ask for wisdom if he should call 911, but feared for her that they would put her on a ventilator and she would never come home. So he cried out to the Lord, and he felt the Lord said, wait. And so he had a peace about her. But still, she was struggling, and she was struggling and saying, why am I not getting better? God heard her cry and had us praying for her. And by letting her know the chains of events, she was encouraged and her hope had been strengthened. And they worshiped to the song, Great Are You, Lord, with her daughter, Rihanna, weeping as their faith was strengthened to know that she is going to recover. God is good, and he's taking care of his children. How important it is that we reach out when we need prayer. We have not because we ask not. Love you and praying for you. Oh, that's for me. That's private. I can't share that part with you. So again, by faith, we know God hears us, and he answers our prayer. He wakes us up early in the morning. If he gets in the way of your agenda, there's a reason why. Because God wants to do something. God wants to use you in the life of somebody else. And not only do you touch the life of somebody else, but you know how that strengthens you? I was so encouraged by that. I was like, God, I want that. Wake me up. Wake me up. Go ahead. I get woken up and then I have my devotion. But I want to get woken up and say, all of a sudden, boom, pray for this person. And I do. I have my prayer partner. And we pray. And you know, God wants to do something. God would always answer and meet our needs according to his perfect will. So again, this guy, you know what? He wasn't a bad guy, but God woke him up for a reason. Now, when it happens, again, the Lord is looking for our persistency. He's looking for our sincerity and each thing that he wakes us up, our acts, what we do for the Lord, it requires our continual coming to him. You know, in Luke chapter 18, which we'll probably get there in about 5 years, he told another parable. He said this, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to what? Pray and not what? Lose heart. Pray and don't lose heart. You know, when I had COVID, I did question God. I was suffering because I had pneumonia and they tried to tell me I didn't. I knew it. It didn't need to be a rocket scientist. I knew it. But every day I said, tomorrow I'm going to be better. The next day, tomorrow I'm going to get better. And that got me through. And he said, men ought to always pray, not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city and a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me for my adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, and I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Isn't that awesome? What's to tell you? Go to God. Don't give up. God is always willing to be with us. And as a child of God, we can rest assured that when times are hard and the circumstances of life, they become hard, God will give us his presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to see us through. God will be with you. You got to be persistent. All we need to remember is God will not only be willing to answer our prayer, and the reason why is because why? He loves us and he cares for us. Don't you think God is going to take care of you? In fact, Proverbs 8:17, Solomon says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will what? Find me. This is what God says. I love those who love me, and those who seek me, they will find me. God always answers our prayers. But guys, yeah, but sometimes the answer of our prayer is no. And you want to know why? Because sometimes what we ask for is not always good for us. And who knows that best than who? God. The Lord is always going to do what's best for us, even if it doesn't look like it, even if it doesn't feel like it. Guys, Father knows best. My Stevie used to tell me that. I'm going to do this. I don't know if you remember this. I said, don't do it. Don't do it because I already did it. I already know what's going to happen. And you know what he told me? He said, oh, well, I guess I have to experience it myself. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. But he did. But you know what? It made him who he is today. He had to build his own. I realized he's got to build his own faith, his own walk with God. He's got to work out his own salvation. But I did love the fact that he did acknowledge that they were right. Youth kids, you're going to acknowledge they were right. I should have listened to them. I mean, isn't that right? They might not listen to us when they're young, but sooner or later they're going to confess, you were right. You know, and I know I need to do that more. Carmen, you were right. You were right. I can tell everybody's right except I don't want her to be right. But she was right. If I touch the stove, I will get burned, you know. But again, look what Jesus says in verse 11. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Or if him then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking him? I mean, God knows best. As a father, we want to give our kids everything and we can when we can. And God says, you know what, if an evil father gives good gifts to his children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking him? Now, we're going to pick up there next week because it's already past 11. You guys didn't realize that, huh? You guys are getting into it, I can tell. I had to remind you, hey, it's past 11. I know you guys want me to continue, but it's past 11 and you need to go home. Okay? So we're going to pick up here in verse 11. So look at verse 11, and we'll pick up that next week. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, maybe someone this morning here needs to be persistent in asking, persistent in seeking, or persistent in knocking. Maybe they've been asking and nothing's been happening. Maybe they've been seeking and nothing's happening. Well, now maybe the next step is knocking. And this morning, if you're here and you're seeking God in prayer, you need to know God more personally, or maybe you don't even know God. Maybe you have never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. God is knocking on your heart. Maybe you don't even believe in God. That's okay, because God believes in you. Amen. And if you're here this morning and you need prayer, you need to seek, you need to ask, and you need to knock, I'm going to open up the altar here. I want you to come up here and so that we can pray. You got to be persistent. You got to be sincere. And maybe this is what God's asking. Maybe God wants you to do it in front of everyone to see that God is moving. Jesus died on the cross publicly. He didn't die privately. He didn't die on the cross behind closed doors. It was in the open so everybody can see. And he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. If you need prayer this morning, in fact, if pastors and elders are here, if you guys want to come down, these men of God, and we'll pray for you. And we'll ask God to honor your prayers according to his perfect will. So as we worship, why don't we stand? And if you want to receive Jesus Christ in your life, come down here and I'll pray with you. If you need prayer for something that you've been praying for a long time, don't stop. Keep going. Keep going until that prayer is answered. God says he will not give you anything that you cannot handle, but he will show you the way out. He's your strength. Just come on down here so we can anoint you with oil and we can pray together persistently and ask God to honor your prayer according to his perfect will. Praise God. This worship.